Greetings, this is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, Chapter 69, Can the Pharisees Fiddle with the Feasts? Almost the whole world keeps Rome's religious days because of Rome's authority. Rome's days are not taught in the Bible. Rome's days were not kept by the first lot. Rome's days, Halloween, Valentine's, Christmas, and Easter, are the same days, renamed, that were kept in pagan Rome. But almost the whole world keeps Rome's religious days because of Rome's authority. Where did Rome get that authority? They gave it to themselves. The first flock certainly did not keep Rome's pagan days. If they wouldn't eat meat sacrificed to an idol, they certainly wouldn't keep an idol worship day. And that's a huge point. The first flock did not do what Rome did. They did not keep Roman pagan feasts. They still observed what Rome called Jewish days. However, the first flock did not do what the Jews, the Pharisees, did either. As covered in a previous chapter, Paul kept the feasts with Gentiles in their lands, not in Jerusalem. Feasts of the Jews were kept only in Jerusalem, at the temple. Feasts of the Christians were kept wherever Christians were. So except for the temple location, Christians would not have kept the Jewish feasts with the Antichrist Jews. That's why John wrote about the feasts of the Jews, which were kept differently than feasts of the Christians. Same days, different focus. Christians focused on Yeshua the Messiah, and Jews focused on traditions of the rabbis. Logically, then, Christians did not follow Jewish traditions related to the feast or Sabbath or foods or dress or anything else for that matter. Christians followed the Hebrew Scriptures. Jews followed the writings of the rabbis, which were honored even above the Bible, since their traditions nullified God's commandments. People often assume that for a Christian to keep the Bible feasts means learning the junk of Judaism. Not so. Judaism is not the answer to humanity's spiritual problem. Judaism is a fruit of humanity's spiritual problem. The traditions of the Jews are just human religious rules based on the authority of the Pharisee rabbis. Remember that the Pharisees, along with the Sadducees and scribes, rejected their king for Caesar. "We have no king but Caesar," they said in John 19:15. Now, was that wisdom? Hardly. That was the antithesis of sagacity, the epitomical opposite of erudition, and the most woeful lack of wisdom in the history of mankind. The Pharisees rejected their Creator, who came to lead them into God's kingdom. In the whole of history, who has made a spiritually stupider decision than those Jews? Nobody. So, why would anyone want to follow their religious rules? Should an Inuit teach people how to surf? Should a paraplegic teach dancing? Should a deaf mute give singing lessons? Should Pharisees teach spiritual matters? No, to all the above. Pharisees became Judaism. The Sadducees were the priestly party in charge of the temple, and the Pharisees ran the synagogues. And this is what Christ said the Pharisees did in their synagogues. 1. They sounded a trumpet when they did a merciful deed for their own glory. 2. They took the best seats at synagogue and feasts for their own glory. 3. They loved to stand praying in the synagogues for their own glory. 4. They loved to be called Rabbi, Rabbi for their own glory. 5. They beat the Christians who met with them on Sabbath. 6. They cast Christ's disciples out of the synagogues. That was the Pharisees. And when the temple burned, the Sadducees, the priests, lost their positions. There was no temple to serve in. So that left the Pharisees and their synagogues. And they became Judaism. Jewish Encyclopedia, 1910 edition, article Pharisees says, quote, with the destruction of the temple, the Sadducees disappeared altogether, leaving the regulation of all Jewish affairs in the hands of the Pharisees. Henceforth, Jewish life was regulated by the teachings of the Pharisees. The whole history of Judaism was reconstructed from the Pharisaic point of view. End quote. New World Encyclopedia said the fall of the temple, quote, would place the Pharisees in a position of unrivaled leadership, since the priesthood and its affiliated Sadducean party was left without a base, end quote. Jerusalem Post, in an article, Who Were the Pharisees, says, quote, in Jewish tradition, the Pharisees are forerunners of the rabbis in theology and practice. This group of scribes and teachers established the foundation of Judaism for 2 millennia and are heroes in Jewish history. And Wikipedia succinctly says, after the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 CE, Pharisaic beliefs became the foundational, liturgical, and ritualistic basis for rabbinic Judaism. End quote. The Pharisees became Judaism. And Isaiah 29 tells how they were. Verse 10, for Yahweh has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. All vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is educated, saying, read this, please. And he says, I can't, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to one who is not educated, saying, read this, please. And he says, I can't read. The Lord said, because this people draws near with their mouth and their lips to honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men which has been taught. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the understanding of their prudent men will be hidden. End quote. That was and is the Pharisees and their Jewish traditions. Their fear of me is a commandment of men, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish. So, where is godly wisdom? Not with the Pharisees. Mark 7. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together to hear Christ, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they, the Pharisees and scribes, saw some of Christ's disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat unless they wash their hands and forearms, holding to the tradition of the elders. They don't eat when they come from the marketplace unless they bathe themselves. And there are many other things which they have received to hold to. Washings of cups, pitchers, bronze vessels, and couches. The Pharisees and the scribes asked Christ, "Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with unwashed hands?" Christ answered them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For you set aside the commandment of God," Christ goes on, "and hold tightly to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and you do many other such things." He said to them, "Full well do you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is to say, given to God,' then you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, making void the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down. You do many things like this." End quote. So Yeshua specifically taught against Jewish traditions, which teach as doctrines the commandments of men. Nothing in the Bible teaches Christians to keep extra-biblical Pharisee traditions. Titus 1, Paul wrote, "For there are also many unruly men, vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, men who overthrow whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for dishonest gain's sake. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and idle gluttons.' This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth." End quote. The days which Rome keeps are not in the Bible. Likewise, the traditions of the Jews are not in the Bible. Both groups taught that truth was not what God said, but what men said God said. Christ said, "You are not to be called Rabbi." If Yeshua doesn't even recognize rabbis, then does he recognize rabbi rules? Absurd. Rabbis' rules are merely commandments of men, making void the word of God, as Christ said. And Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth, as Paul said. Such as Pharisee rules about the weekly Sabbath. My Jewish Learning website discusses rabbi rules on the Sabbath. In the Mishnah, the rabbis enumerated 39 major categories with hundreds of subcategories of labor that were forbidden, based on the types of work that were related to the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness, which ceased on the Sabbath. Activities that cannot be performed on the Sabbath are basic tasks connecting with preparing the showbread, sowing, plowing, reaping, binding, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, work related to making the coverings in the tabernacle and the vestments used by the Kohanim, shearing sheep, bleaching, carding, dyeing, spinning, stretching, making two loops, threading needles, weaving, separating, tying a knot, untying a knot, sewing, tearing, activities concerned with writing and the preparation of parchment from animal skin, trapping or hunting, slaughtering, flaying or skinning, treating skins or curing hides, scraping pelts, marking out to make ready for cutting, cutting to shape, writing, erasing, construction, building, demolishing, kindling a flame, lighting, or extinguishing, carrying from private to public domain, and vice versa, and putting the finishing touches to a piece of work already begun before the Sabbath. Then that article goes on, the rabbis decreed that one not only should avoid forbidden acts, but also must not do anything that resembles a prohibited act or could be confused with it, and is a habit linked with a prohibited act or usually leads to performing a prohibited act. The rabbinic enactment of these measures to prevent these possibilities was termed putting a fence around the Torah. For example, ripping up a piece of paper was forbidden, since it resembles cutting to shape or could be confused with it. Similarly, agreeing to buying something was prohibited because most agreements are confirmed in writing. Climbing a tree is forbidden because it may lead to breaking twigs or tearing leaves, which could be construed as reaping. Other activities that, by extension, are prohibited on the Sabbath include the following: adding fresh water to a vase of cut flowers, making a bouquet of flowers, separating good fruit from spoiled fruit, brushing dried mud from boots or clothes, cutting hair or nails, applying makeup, braiding hair, drawing blood for a blood test, rubbing soap to make lather, applying face cream, polishing shoes, using scouring powder for utensils or other surfaces, sharpening a pencil, painting, drawing, typing, tearing through lettering on a package, which is erasing, opening an umbrella or unfolding a screen, which is building, smoking a cigarette, using the telephone, which is kindling a fire, switching off an electric light, which is extinguishing a fire, setting or winding a clock or watch, wearing eyeglasses, not permanently required. And that article goes on, things you can't even touch. An item that may not be used on the Sabbath may not even be handled on that day. Money and checks, scissors, hammers and saws, pencils and pens, battery-operated toys and flashlights, radios and CDs, telephones and computers, and religious objects such as shofar, tefillin, and lulav. Even the Sabbath candlesticks should not be touched on the Sabbath after the candles have been lit. Even if not strictly classified as forbidden work, certain mundane matters should be avoided on the Sabbath, the article goes on. These include weekday chores such as packing suitcases and rearranging furniture, opening mail, discussing business issues or matters of everyday concern. One is forbidden to even think about or make plans for the week ahead, such as preparing equipment, mapping out a route, renting a briefcase, or setting the table for a party on Saturday night. End quote. Whew. One of the most memorable Pharisee rules is about how to walk on the Sabbath. Not how far to walk on the Sabbath, but how to walk on the Sabbath. That article goes on, based on Isaiah's exhortation that one honor the Sabbath by not doing your usual ways, the rabbis recommended that a person should even walk differently on the Sabbath, avoiding the long strides and rushing about that characterize the pace of most people on weekdays. End quote. Now, I guess that means that on day 1 through 6, people will walk normally, but on the Sabbath day, they will mince. Is it true that God meant for people to mince on the Sabbath? Did Christ mince on the Sabbath? He didn't mince words, but did he mince when he walked? Probably not. All those Sabbath rules are the words of men about the Word of God. None of those Sabbath rules are in the Bible, but those words of men are treated as laws of God. How many Sabbath rules are there? There are 39 basic rules, and each of those rules has multiple rules covering each rule. Complicated? Kabbah.org says that the Shabbat laws are quite complex, requiring careful study and a qualified teacher. Well, at first, it's often overwhelming and seems like an impossible number of restrictions. But spending Shabbat with others who are Shabbat observant will show you that eventually you too will become comfortable with the Shabbat laws, as long as you realize that becoming Shomer Shabbat, Shabbat observant, is a gradual process rather than an overnight transformation. You will also recognize that the wealth of details provides for a lifetime of scholarship. Even those who have been keeping Shabbat for years find that there is always more to learn on this subject. End quote. The Pharisees make the Sabbath a lifelong burden, requiring lifelong study, shifting the focus from God to the Pharisees and their rules. And you have to have them teach you their rules. Furthermore, those Sabbath rules of the Pharisees also apply to the feast days, except the rules for preparing food. Wikipedia, under activities prohibited on Sabbath, says many of these activities are also prohibited on the Jewish holidays listed in the Torah, although there are significant exceptions permitting carrying and preparing food under specific circumstances. End quote. So that raises some questions. If it's wrong to read an electronic Bible on the Sabbath, is it wrong to read the Bible on your computer or phone on a feast day? If it's wrong to walk normally on the Sabbath, must you also mince on a feast day? If it's sin to use a pen on the Sabbath, is it sin to take sermon notes on a feast day? Yes, yes, and yes, according to the Pharisees. But do rabbi rules really apply to the Sabbath and feasts? Did God give the Pharisees the authority to set such feast laws? Do the Pharisees rule the feasts?